Hello and welcome to the One of a Kind You podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the transformative journey of healing from within. I'm your host, Kim Keen, a certified life coach and holistic healer, and I'm here to share my personal healing journey and provide a supportive space for yours. Whether you're dealing with childhood trauma, emotional wounds, or seeking a path to holistic well-being, you're not alone. Join me each week as we dive into stories, strategies, and insights that will help you feel more connected, empowered, and ready to embrace your own healing journey. Let's walk this path together, one step at a time, and welcome to my community. So do you feel like the things that you experienced growing up, the childhood trauma that you experienced, created you to be a weak, scared, intimidated person? Or do you feel like it developed this inner strength and this really like unshakable confidence and belief in who you are, and just made you out to be this dynamic person? Before my healing journey, I would have said I was weak, I was insecure, I was incapable of a lot. But then after doing the work, I realized that all of those hurtful experiences I've had in my childhood actually created someone who was strong and confident and capable and determined. I just had to change the way that I looked at myself and the experiences that I had. So when I had this unhealthy view of myself and the things that I had been through, I thought I just ran on autopilot all the time. I was incredibly defensive. I had this horrible lack mindset, thinking that change was never possible. And I also really felt guilty about everything. I didn't trust anyone and I self-sabotaged all the time. But then after I started doing the work and I learned more about myself, I actually realized that I'm adaptable. I'm super independent. I'm resourceful and I persevere. And I would say it's probably the same for you too. But we didn't grow up with someone there cheering us on to believe that we were this incredible person. In fact, we had the opposite of being told to us. We're told that we should be seen and not heard, and that we, you know, were an inconvenience, that it would be better if we just weren't around, all kinds of things. And so when we have that constant messaging and program and playing on repeat for us, it really doesn't do anything to like the way that we are or who we are. And sometimes we don't even get verbal messages from the people in our lives when we're little. It's projected onto us because of the way that they feel about themselves. So they feel like they're a bad person or they're unworthy because of what they went through, the abuse and the trauma that they went through. And so unintentionally, they start putting that message out to you because you're their child and you're a product of them. So if they're not good enough, why would you be good enough? And so it really was a huge shift for me to change the way I thought about myself and what I had been through. And I, you know, recognize that a lot of people haven't been through maybe some of the things that I have. And I used to look at that as a downfall. And I used to think that made me worse than I was. So let me just share a little bit about how I shifted and look at things now, and maybe that will help you shift too. So before, I used to think that I couldn't handle anything and that I had to rely on others to tell me what I should do and when I should do it. But I realized that I was actually really adaptable because I had to be adaptable as a kid. So, you know, maybe you can relate, like childcare changes would happen because my dad worked a full-time job, but he also owned a cleaning company. So I would go to an in-home daycare after school, and then I would expect that my dad would be picking me up, but then my grandmother would pick me up instead, or my mom would pick me up, or I would go down to the friend's house down the street in the neighborhood and stay there until my dad could get there from work because the babysitter closed. And so sometimes it was, you know, weeks would go by and it would be very consistent, but then it could be just one thing that would shift it. And there would be this little bit of unpredictability in there. And so I just had to roll with the punches. And also having divorced parents, there are custody arrangements. And those aren't always static, especially at holiday time. So I had to always spend Christmas Eve and Christmas morning with my dad. That was just the way that it was. And then when my dad and I were done Christmas at his house, he would take me to my mom's house. I would get a few hours there with her and my stepbrothers and my brother and my stepdad. And then he would pick me up and we would go see my stepmom's family. And then we would spend the evening there. So I would literally do three holidays in one day. And when my husband and I first started dating, he thought that was absolutely amazing because he grew up in a household with parents who are still married. So my in-laws have been married for over 60 years now. And so he always felt like holidays were boring for him because they would open presents and then they would end up going to the movies and watching movies on Christmas, but they would typically not all go see the same movie because they had different interests. And so that was strange for me. Like, what? You guys got bored? You saw movies at the movie theater? I didn't even know the movie theater was open on Christmas Day. And so for the first two Christmases, he thought it was absolutely amazing that we were running here, there, and everywhere. And there was so much Christmas spirit. But after the second Christmas, he thought and would often ask, do we really have to do this? Do we really have to go someplace else? Yes, unfortunately, we do because that is the expectation. So once we had kids, then we were able to shift that expectation because it was too much for my littles to run around. And I didn't want them to have that same running experience for the holidays that I did. So I learned to just roll with the punches. And so I'm able to do that now as an adult because I had to learn how to do it as a kid. And then also, I'm fiercely independent and sometimes to my detriment. And I think that can go both ways. You can be fiercely independent because it's that me versus you mentality. And maybe it still feels that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can let people in or we can choose not to. And so that's where the independence that I have works really well. I am independent and I can do things on my own, but I also like to be around other people. And so I don't self-isolate. I just choose when I'm with people and when I'm not, but I don't have to have people around in order to be okay. And that used to be the way that it was for me back in the day. So that's how I got sucked into the abusive relationship in high school. I so desperately wanted a boyfriend so that I would feel loved and, accepted and like I mattered. And then after that relationship ended, I still was seeking that approval, that connection, and I had several more unhealthy relationships after that, because I was looking for connection in the wrong ways. And so I was able to get to a point after going through a lot of healing to recognize that I can do things by myself and that's great, or I can choose to have people with me and that's really great too. Because honestly, we're humans and we strive on connection with others. We're wired to connect with others. So it's just a matter of, do you need it for unhealthy reasons, or is there a beautiful balance of choosing when you want to be with someone and when you don't? I'm also super resourceful. And so part of that is a survival mechanism. When you're a child and you're in these traumatic experiences, you can't always rely on others. So you have to figure out a way to make things work. And sometimes you didn't grow up with a lot of money, and maybe it was your job to cook dinner for your siblings while your parents were at work, and you had, typical food like mac and cheese. And so your brothers and sisters would complain that they didn't want mac and cheese again for the eighth night in a row, and you had to figure out how to spice that up. Maybe you mixed some frozen peas in there, or you mixed frozen broccoli in there, something, but it taught you that you can actually make things work even when there's not a lot. And so growing up, my dad used to make my Halloween costumes for me, and partly a budget thing, but also my dad really likes to do creative things. And so those are some of the best childhood memories I have is having my homemade costume. I was a witch for 4 years in a row, I think. And so now that's something that I love to do for my kids, not because of a budget constraint, but because I love finding ways to make creative costumes. So when my girls were little, they were peacocks, and I ordered peacock feathers from Hobby Lobby and I glued them onto cardboard and I put straps on the cardboard and they wore it like a vest and they thought they were the bee's knees. But I just whipped that up because I have the ability to create things with next to nothing. And that's just because of the nature sometimes of how we grow up. And the other thing too is that we are able to persevere. And maybe that goes back to living in survival mode a lot when you're growing up and going through traumatic experiences. But when you have to be in survival mode, it instills a strong work ethic. And there's a difference between strong work ethic and being a workaholic. And so, but it also teaches you determination. It teaches you how to keep going even when things feel rough. And so those are really some of the greatest gifts that I have had the ability to see in myself after doing the work, where in the past, before doing the work, I just constantly ran on autopilot. And that was a result of being in survival mode and hypervigilant. So I did not allow myself to relax. I literally just went through the motions. I didn't allow myself to have joy in things. So, you know, someone at work would be like, "Oh my gosh, did you see the latest episode of the Kardashians?" And I was like, "Nope. I don't even really know anything about them," because I would not allow myself time to just sit and be. I was always in this human doing mode rather than human being mode. And that was not a healthy way to spend my time, because it left me feeling exhausted. It left me feeling bitter and resentful and just really drained on all levels, not just tired, exhausted, but drained mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. It was just absolutely exhausting. And so the other thing that I was trapped in is this ultra defensive state. And part of that was from low self-esteem and low self-worth. And I just always felt like I was under attack. And maybe you feel like you still are under attack. And because a lot of that stemmed from being with my abusive relationship, because I was always accused of cheating on him, even though I wasn't. It was actually him who was cheating on me. I was accused of flirting with people when I wasn't. I was accused of being where I wasn't when I said I was actually someplace else. So I always felt like I had to defend myself and explain myself. And that state of being followed me for a long time. And it well into my marriage, because I would constantly explain myself to my husband. I would always be worried that if I wore, you know, a tank top like this, then he would assume I was trying to impress someone else, not just because I had finished working out or was going to go to the gym. Just this really crazy thought loop. But I always felt like I was being attacked in some way, shape, or form for how I looked, for what I thought, for what I felt, for what I wanted, for anything and everything. I felt like I was always under attack, and it was because I had low self-esteem and I didn't feel like I was worthy of anything. And I always felt like I had to just explain and justify myself. And so the other thing too, was that I always had this lack mindset, this victim mentality, and it took me a long time to shake that. It wasn't until my life coach asked me, like, "Kim, how long is the victim story going to go on? Because you haven't been a victim for a very long time." And I had not realized that I was living with that perception of myself until she called me on it. And let me tell you, that was like a punch to the stomach, because I didn't see it coming, because I didn't have that awareness. But I just felt like change was never possible. I felt like I would never get ahead. I felt like things would never be good enough, and that it would always be this hamster wheel, like clawing my way out of the ditch feeling. And it hadn't been like that for so long, but I was just programmed to see that in myself, that I just really thought change wasn't possible. And the other thing too, is I lived with this eroding guilt that just was so consuming all the time. I felt guilty for speaking up for myself. I felt guilty for wanting things, like basic things, like new clothes. After having kids and my other clothes didn't fit anymore, I felt guilty for wanting to even go to a life coaching workshop. I just felt guilty about everything. And that goes back to the low self-esteem. It goes back to the low self-worth, but it also stems from the belief of, like, you're supposed to be seen and not heard, and, your opinion doesn't matter. And why would you think that you're deserving of those things when other people are more of a priority than you? And so it was just this soul-sucking guilt over everything. Guilt for not loving always being a stay-at-home mom, guilt for leaving my teaching career, even though it was literally killing me and ruining my marriage and making me be a miserable person and not the mom I wanted to be and not the teacher I wanted to be.
I just literally felt guilt for every single thing about me and my existence. But I also had really deep trust issues. I always felt like, you know, people hadn't been there for me in the past, so why would they be there for me now? And was so, I'll say, dependent and reliant on needing people around, even people who were not good for me. I would rather have that than be alone, even if it meant that they were going to screw me over. They weren't going to be there for me when they said they would be. I was willing to settle for that because that's what I had been used to. And so why would things change? And I just thought, okay, this is how relationships are. There's no changing it. So we'll accept it. And then also self-sabotage. Oh my goodness. This was probably the worst one. And I did this because I was so worried that things would be good for a little bit, but they wouldn't stay that way. And so instead of allowing things to happen naturally and just progress the way that they were supposed to, I would start destroying things, relationships, things that I had been working on, because it was too vulnerable to have the possibility that even though things were really good in the moment, it might not stay that way. And I didn't want to have that happen. I didn't want to take that chance, because how awful is it to get something that's really good and then have it ripped away from you? I'd rather just have the bad things then. That was the belief I used to have in the past, not now, but that was how I thought it would be. Based on my beliefs in the past and before I started doing the work. And so I didn't want even a remote chance of something good happening with the possibility of losing it. And so I would just sabotage. I would just do whatever I could to bring the bad on as quickly as possible, because that's what I was used to. So do you want to be the person who stays in the negative and lets this stuff from the past that's no longer needed continue to drive your life? Or do you want the positive to step in, take over, and be the driving force that you lead with now? I think the positive should be the driving force that leads life now. And so comment below and tell me if you can relate to any of the negative things or any of the positive things, and if you see where you can make a shift from the negative to the positive. So thanks so much for tuning in. And I'm so glad that you're joining me on this video series that I'm creating. So be sure to hit the subscribe button, because this is going to be a place that really gives you the tools and the wisdom and strategies to move forward, especially if you feel like you're stuck and you've been kind of in the same place, just spinning your wheels around keeping the healing journey moving forward. But more importantly than anything else, be sure to take time for yourself.
So thank you so much for tuning in today to listen to another episode of One of a Kind You. If you would be so kind to leave a review, I'd be so appreciative. I take the time to read all the reviews to ensure that this podcast continues to be a place of support and guidance and a resource that's valuable and helpful. And if this episode was helpful, please feel free to share it with a friend. The more, the merrier. So thanks again for tuning in, and I will see you next week.